Welcome everybody to the 12 steps in 4 hours. This is, I haven't done it in two parts in a long time, so it's kind of exciting. Tonight we're going to do steps 1 to 3, and I'm going to give you something to think about at the end of the step 3 presentation. And then tomorrow we'll get together same time again for starting with step 4, and we'll do steps 4 through 12. A lot of information we'll be going through tomorrow, and we'll do all 12 steps or get a lick of the ice cream cone, as I like to say. You know, I always think of 12 steps in 4 hours kind of like soul surgery. You know, we're like soul surgeons out there. You know, some people are in real dire straits, and they need triage right away. And this particular approach that I'm going to show you is a way that we can be helpful to the newcomer that's really suffering and give them a fighting chance and show them how to, you know, connect to a power greater than themselves and recover from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So my name's Cameron. I'm a member of Cocaine Anonymous, although I am a member of other fellowships, and I've spoken extensively in AA, NA, in SLA, CODA, Al-Anon, but my primary fellowship is Cocaine Anonymous. This is a big book sponsorship presentation. Remembering it only takes a few hours to learn how to work a 12-step program and the rest of our lives to practice it. So we're going to get started. If you'll open up your workbook, page 3, it says, this 12-step workbook guide substitute terms and phrases related to alcoholism to include any acting out or obsessive addiction patterns. By the way, this is also an open meeting. I love doing open meetings. By open, we mean anyone seeking a spiritual moral solution to what ails them, whatever the addictive pattern is, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or an acting out addiction like sex or love, fantasy, gambling, hoarding, whatever. You're all welcome here. And we have found that the 12-step approach has a great deal of efficacy for any and all addictions. So this workbook includes the obsessive addiction patterns such as drugs and all mind-altering substances, sugar, food, overeating, nicotine, gambling, sex, love, fantasy, pornography, overworking, tasking, electronic media, self-harm, mutilation, anorexia, bulimia, overspending, debting, under-earning, cluttering, hoarding, emotions, codependency. And anyone can certainly increase this list, and all are welcome. I think since 1939, when they wrote the original 12-step solution for alcoholics, the recovery solution has been adopted by some 300 different fellowships to date, all looking and using the original 12-step program as a way to find a solution to what ails people. Our format quotes from the fourth edition of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. The English version is the fourth edition that I've quoted from, which is our basic recovery text. Our notes, commentary, gender-inclusive changes are formatted in italics. When I wrote this workbook back in May of 2007, I wrote it out of a resentment. I was kicked out of the last detox in Toronto because I had a habit of delivering a very blunt message to the clients. I'd always open with, I got good news and bad news. The good news is there is a way out. The bad news is you're probably too selfish to do it and you're going to die. And they felt that was a little too harsh. So I got thrown out and I thought, now what am I going to do to work with others? I can't carry the message in the detoxes. So I came up with the notion, I'll start a workshop. And I put this workbook together in May of 2007. And what I've done is I've extrapolated the instructions out of the first 164 pages of the Big Book. Now, there's about 30 pages of actual instruction on how to do the step. The other 134 pages is commentary on those instructions. Now, it's good commentary, and you should be familiar with it, and you can join Big Book study groups for that. But the actual instructions on how to do a 12-step program is roughly 30 pages, which we've laid out in this workbook. We've also adapted the workbook to read for men and women. We removed the gender pronouns. We did that before it was politically correct to do so. I even removed the pronouns for God, which drove the Bible belters in United States crazy. I had to send them a Word document with the so they could put their gender pronouns back in for God. But I removed all the pronouns. We've added the other addiction patterns. And sometimes we've added notes. But wherever I've altered the original text, I've italicized the text, and I cite where in the big book you can read the original passage. And for further study, as I already mentioned, it suggests you get a copy of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, the whole point of our presentation, everything we do in a 12-step program is designed to do the most important thing, is, and that is for you to become sponsors. The whole point of the program is for you to be a sponsor. I said that in Al-Anon. I spoke to an Al-Anon meeting. Of course, in Al-Anon, the battle cry is, I need you to change in order for me to feel okay. And of course, you know, Al-Anon suffer from a lot of codependency and they want to fix everybody. So when I said to the group, you're all going to become sponsors, their eyes just lit right up with delight. Ooh, that's not good. We had to do a bit of work there. But if you suffer from codependency or those types of afflictions, being a sponsor really is a demanding and an exciting place to be, because you really learn how to set the boundaries between being responsible to people rather than taking responsibility for them. So the whole point is for you to become a sponsor. Now, in the first 88 pages of your big book, before we get into the chapter Working with Others, which starts on page 89, it mentions 124 times in the big book to work with another alcoholic. And they don't mean work with your sponsor. They mean work with the man or the woman that's in the hole, that doesn't know a way out, and show them how to recover. Bill and Bob understood the power and the importance of one alcoholic, of one addict, working with another, helping them find a power greater than themselves, which would solve their problem. When I, one of the things that I did as a result of doing this program, there's a line in the big book that says, go out and see what other religious people are doing. And I thought, well, I'll go get a degree in religions, and typical addict response. And I was at university and I was doing, I studied medical anthropology, which is the study of various healing systems. And of course, 12 steps is an alternative healing system. And I was doing this research on a paper, and I came across this Baltimore, Maryland drug study. Now, this was done in the year 2000 in the United States in Baltimore, Maryland, very, very drug infested urban center. And they had 500 injection drug users in this this test group. And they had, and they separated them into three groups. Now, these were cocaine and heroin injection users. And they had a group that had a sponsor, a group that had no sponsor, and a group that sponsored others. And at the end of 1 year, they looked at the efficacy rate, the sobriety rates of those three groups. Now, those with sponsors and those without sponsors, there was absolutely no difference in their sobriety rate, which was roughly 30%. Now, that signifies two things. One, you're just as likely to sober up on your own. And two, having a sponsor is no predication of power. One of the first things I tell the newcomer is, I am not the power. I will fail you. I'm going to probably say something that's going to upset you, or I'm not going to be there when you need me the most. I will fail you as a power. What was interesting about the study, though, is that those that sponsored others, 75% of the group was still sober at the end of the first year. Once again, signifying all the power, all the efficacy of a 12-step program is availed to us by carrying the message to those that still suffer. So helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. And a kindly act once in a while isn't enough. If you're working with your workbook, you can write right there at the end of that sentence, half measures avail me nothing. Or what I like to say, NHM, which is no half measures. I'm going to refer to just how often no half measures comes up as a suggestion throughout our instructions here. Did any of us ever half measure our addictive pattern? You know, it was always full on for me, right? So when it comes, there was nothing about my drinking or using that was ever half measured. So when it comes to the program, I need to have the same zeal and vigor to connect to a power greater than myself if I'm going to find real recovery. So no half measures. I always think that should be a great slogan in the rooms. Half measures avail us nothing. To show other addicts precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. It's actually the main purpose of this workbook. For the newcomers, we hope that these pages, which is roughly 30 pages that we're going to go through, will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. Basically, what I'm saying is everything you need to recover is laid out in these 30 some pages of your workbook. What we're going to do over the course of 2 hours tonight and 2 hours tomorrow night as we conclude the presentation is we're going to outline the program of action, which we, a lot of us refer to as a recovery recipe. What I like about the recipe analogy is the big book was written very much like a recipe. And the point is, if you follow the recipe exactly as it's laid out, the end result is a spiritual awakening, an awakened consciousness that connects to a power far greater than the booze, the drugs, or the acting out behavior, and allow us to recover from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. But it also means we can't leave anything out and we can't put too much in. We got to follow the recipe exactly as it's laid out. And that's what we're going to do over these few hours. We're going to explain how we made a self-appraisal, which is basically our step 4 and 5. How we straightened out our past, our steps 8 and 9, and why we're endeavoring to be helpful to those of you that have joined us here today. It's important for the newcomer to realize that our attempt to pass this recipe, this message on to you, plays a vital part in my recovery and Gloria's recovery and Camilla's recovery and Ray's recovery. You know, it's important that you realize that, you know, we're doing this because what happens is you're actually helping us more than we're helping you. It's a bit of a ripoff when you're a newcomer. And for those of you that have been sponsoring others will understand this. If I had the power to make all of you well, I would do it. I wouldn't think twice about it, but I don't have that kind of power. Now, over the course of these 4 hours, I'm going to impart to you my 18 years of working with some 5,000 newcomers over the course of 18 years. And in that experience, I want to share my experience and the wisdom and the knowledge that I've picked up in working with others to help you be the best sponsor you can possibly be. But I have no more power than you do to sober you up. That is a special relationship between you and a higher power. Actually, as sponsors, what we do is broker the deal. You know, we connect untreated addicts to God and God to the untreated addict. And through that special relationship, which is forged through the 12 steps, we connect to this power and we get well. It really is an amazing thing to be a part of. Every time I've gone through the steps with somebody, I've learned something new about myself. I've learned something new about working with others. I've learned something new about the program. It is a gift that has continued to give to me throughout the 18 years. And I can't recommend it enough that at the end of the presentation that you go out there and start carrying the message to those that still suffer. And that's why we say it's actually helping us more than it's helping you. You're under no obligation to us. We only hope that you'll try to help other addicts when you escape your own difficulties. And we suggest that it's extremely important to place the welfare of other people ahead of our own. One of the very first paradoxes, and there's lots of paradoxes in our program. The very first paradox we learn is that in order to get well, it's not a selfish program. You ever been in a room where people say, oh, this is a selfish program. I got to work on me first. I never see them stick around the rooms. That's not what the program's about. The program is whenever I worked on my sobriety first, I could never stay sober. But when I cared more about you and gave to you unconditionally and lovingly and tried to help you get well, my sobriety was always taken care of. I don't know why it works that way. It just is. Call it the law of harvest or you reap what you sow or karma, but it's just the spiritual dynamic of the program. We, you know, you can make a note if you like here. You get to keep it by giving it away, pay it forward. You get to keep it by giving it away, pay it forward. A great American salesman in the United States, Zig Ziglar, used to say, you can get everything you want in life just by helping others get what they want. And that's kind of the bottom line. We hope that throughout this presentation, our self-revealing accounts will not be taken in bad taste. Although I wouldn't worry too much about that. I've really toned down my vulgarities and my colorful metaphors and tried to be as inclusive and helpful as possible rather than being just a misogynistic, arrogant prick. Hopefully I've made some progress in that respect. Our hope is that anyone who suffers from addiction, men and women desperately in need, will see these pages as we go through them, that by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems, that you'll be persuaded to say, you know what, I'm like you, and you're like me, but you don't do it anymore, and I want what you got. That's really what we're trying to achieve when we carry our message to another addict who suffers. All of us have our own story. We all have a story, right? And somewhere in our fellowships, there's an ear that desperately needs to hear your story. And they identify and they go, you know what? I'm just like you and you're just like me, but you don't do it anymore. Can you show me how you got what you got so I can get well too? And we start that wonderful journey of 12 steps.